Tonight we're going to be looking at the idea of how should Christians think about reducing violence within our country, specifically things like we saw last weekend, things that we've seen across our country with mass shootings. Obviously, if you watch the news, you'll see that there are people yelling and screaming on every side. One side screams you need to buy more guns. Other side says you need to get rid of all guns. One side says you need to ban Muslims. Other people say it's not Muslims. And within all of this, sometimes we can get caught up in the, well, Jesus never said anything about gun control. Jesus never said anything about this. And some people say, well, you know, the loving Jesus would not want anybody to own an assault rifle and all those type of things. And people have all of this misinformation. So what we want to do tonight is we want to look at Scripture. And we want to look at what the Word of God says about violence, about its source, about guns, about those type of things. And we're going to, hopefully, by God's grace, from His Word, discern what his thoughts are on this. Does everyone have a sheet of scriptures? Michael, get one. Mr. Bryce, too, please. All right. With that in mind, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to guide our thoughts tonight. Father, Lord, we are a pro-life people. We love human beings because they bear your image and because we love you. And Father, because of this, we abhor the killing of human beings. Father, we would ask that you would give us direction from your word as to how to think on these things and how to live in the times in which we live. Open our eyes to your truth. Help us to think your thoughts. Father, help us not to be conformed to this world and its way of thinking, but to let your word transform our minds. It's in Christ's name I pray. The very first verse I want to begin with is 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Christians are not to be governed by fear, but we are to be people who are governed by a sound mind and by the love of God and by the power of His Holy Spirit. You have to understand that when you talk about terrorism, terrorism by its very definition is to terrify you so that you will pursue a particular political end. Fear is one of the strongest motivators there is to human beings. The problem with being motivated out of fear is that it normally means you do not act rationally. When you are operating out of fear, facts go out the window. If you were to study the history of, say, communism, especially in the 20th century, one of the ways communism was brought into countries was through terrorism. The communists would destabilize a country through senseless acts of random violence, and the citizens would become terrified. They would be scared to go into the marketplace. They would be scared of going about their business. And the communists would come along and say, if you will put us in power, we will stop all of these things and you can live in peace. And what they used was fear. By the way, if you watch campaigns and people campaigning for office, guess what they try to do? They try to scare you. Why? Because any rational person would not vote for most people running for office today. They know this, so they try to terrify you to vote for them. And so you'll look and they'll say, well, if so-and-so gets elected, there'll be nuclear war. If so-and-so gets elected, you'll lose all your freedom. And they do this. Why? Because the whole thing of terrorism, okay, that's what it is, many of these domestic acts of terrorism, what they are designed to do is to get you to act out of fear. We as Christians are not supposed to act out of fear. That type of fear does not come from God. We are to fear God. We are not to fear death. We are not to fear terrorists. We are not to fear guns. We are not to fear Muslims. We're not to fear anything but God. And because of this, we are supposed to think clearly through these issues. I want to just give you some facts. Okay? In America, if you take abortion out, 2.6 million people die every year. That's fact. Okay, you take abortion, put that in, it's a whole lot more. Okay, you are more likely in New York City to die in the womb at the hands of a doctor than you are to be shot or stabbed. Let's just be honest about that. In most places in this country, the most dangerous place to be is a woman's womb. Okay, let's just be honest with that up front. So when we talk about reducing violence, ending abortion will do far more than anything else. Hey, of the 2.6 million deaths, about 32,000 are from cars. 32,000 traffic accidents. People walking on the sideway, car jumps curb, runs them over. About 32,000 people die a year from cars. Now, the media, again, they'll put out facts, but you need to look at the facts. We're going to look at a lot of them because a lot of them are distorted. They'll say 32,000 people die from gun violence every year. Actually, it's about 12,000 people are murdered by guns. The other 20,000 is suicide. Okay, that is more of a mental health issue and a whole other topic. That is not gun violence. That is suicide. If you look at the FBI statistics, I looked at it this week, 2014, there were a little less than 12,000 people were murdered by guns in this country. Okay, 32,000 cars, 12,000 guns. Well, if we had an assault rifle ban, of those 12,000 murders in 2014, less than 300 were from any type of rifle. Think about that for a minute. In fact, it is almost, it's about 260, I think it was in 2014. So 2.6 million deaths, 260 are from rifles. That would include the dreaded so-called assault rifle. That would include a hunting rifle. That would include other things. 260. Very small percentage. However, knife deaths is over 1,500. Okay? You're more likely to be stabbed than shot. In fact, there was a guy a couple years ago, actually it was a couple months ago, in New York City, one of the officials was celebrating the rise in stabbings in New York City because gun control was working. I'm not making that up. You can go watch the interview. They're not killing each other with guns anymore. It's a good thing that people are getting stabbed now because they don't have guns to kill each other. Again, think this through. By the way, the mass shootings are declining, not rising. Okay, you go back to Bonnie and Clyde and all of that, the number of mass shootings is declining in our country. The number of gun deaths in our country is declining and has been declining for quite some time. The issue is the media coverage. You realize that more people have been shot by gangs this year just in Chicago alone than have been killed by Muslims on American soil. You are more likely to be stabbed in New York City, shot in Detroit, than killed by a Muslim on American soil. Just think that through for a minute. In fact, if you look at the murder statistics, about 600 people a year are killed by hands and fist. You are more likely to be beat to death by someone's fist than you are shot by an assault rifle. Again, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. We need to realize that. These are just, you can go home and go to the FBI's website and look it up for yourself, and I encourage you to. Because what happens is people have an agenda, and we're going to look that there's spiritually an agenda, the devil has an agenda, to drive us to making poor decisions out of fear. You are far more likely to die in a car wreck than you are to be killed by an assault rifle. You are far more likely to die in a car wreck than you are to get killed by a gun. Right? Remember that. So when people begin to talk about we got to ban guns, we got to stop and say, wait a minute, okay? We as human beings, or we as Christians, are pro-life. We want to do everything to save every life we can. But if you want to look statistically, medical malpractice is, according to some statistics, the second leading cause of death in our country. That means if you want to save the most lives, you need to reform doctors. Think about that for a minute. Second leading cause of death is medical malpractice, not guns. We as Christians are pro-life. Okay? So we want to address all of these issues eyes open. We want to look at it without the spirit of fear. All the hype, everything aside, we want to look at it without fear. I'll give you another thing about America. Did you know in terms of countries with gun violence, they did a study of 218 countries. I would have a hard time naming 40 countries. America is not even in the top 100 for gun deaths. We're not even in the top 100 countries in the world with gun deaths. Think about that. Okay? We should not be motivated by fear, because that is an irrational motivator. We want to be motivated by facts. I think we rank in, number 111 in the country when you factor in per person. Our gun deaths is not even the top 100. Okay? Now, that being said, there is the argument that is made, well, if it would save one life, isn't it worth it? We as Christians are pro-life. Let's look at some things taught in Scripture, though. Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Before we look at the issue of guns, I want us to have the heart of compassion and a heart of repentance to get with the beam in our own eye. There is no doubt that there is the judgment of God on our nation, and the judgment of God will take many forms. However, we need to be very careful to have a heart of compassion when things like this take place. Because if we got what we deserved, God would have wiped us out a long time ago. We need to remember that. We need to approach this issue with sensitivity and with humility, dealing with the beam in our own eye and seeking repentance for ourselves. It's very important because we're going to look through the whole issue. Many times, the murder, et cetera, is part of the judgment of God upon a people who have devalued human life, who have rejected God. Luke 22. Then Jesus said to them, Jesus talking to his disciples, now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. He that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now I want to talk a little bit here about God and his creation. Here Jesus very clearly instructs his disciples to be armed. You cannot interpret that any other way. So much so that he tells them to sell the very shirt off their back to buy a sword. Okay, Jesus commands his followers to be armed. But I want us to stop and I want to think through, because there's a spiritual agenda that we get so caught up in fear we don't even see. Let me ask you, what did Jesus make at the wedding in Cana? Made wine. That's alcohol, right? It was alcoholic. At creation, did Jesus make the poppy seed from which people make opium? Did Jesus make the marijuana plant? So I want you to think this through for a minute. Jesus made marijuana. Jesus made poppy seeds. Jesus made alcohol. And Jesus encouraged his followers to have swords. Weapons. Now let's stop for a minute. If you go back in our country to the early 1900s, there was something called Prohibition. Okay, that's where we outlawed alcohol. And guess what happened? People still got drunk. Oh my goodness. But if you get rid of the alcohol, no one would ever get drunk. If you make marijuana illegal, nobody will ever smoke it. If you get rid of opium and you say that's wrong and you can't grow it, no one would ever get high. Why would God create marijuana? Why would God create the poppy seed? Why would Jesus make alcohol? Because inanimate objects are not the problem. Knives don't kill people. Marijuana doesn't turn itself into what people use to smoke it. Okay? It just doesn't happen. Poppy seeds just don't turn into opium on their own. And people, just all of a sudden, it just gets into people's system. Alcohol doesn't jump off the shelf and down your throat. We have to understand that inanimate objects are just that, inanimate objects. Alcohol can be used for good, and alcohol can be used to get drunk. Please understand that. They're inanimate objects. And when we move beyond dealing with the spiritual sin nature of a human being to blaming inanimate objects, we have misdiagnosed the problem. Cars don't kill people. They don't. People behind the wheel of cars do. Okay? Alcohol doesn't make people drunk. People drinking alcohol make themselves drunk. Please understand that. Marijuana doesn't make people high. People smoking marijuana makes them high. Okay? The inanimate object is not the issue. Jesus never came and said, you know what? Get rid of all the alcohol. That is what misguided Christians have said with prohibition. Okay, is drunkenness bad? Yes, drunkenness is bad. But the problem is not the alcohol. The problem is the person drinking it. The problem is their soul. The same thing goes with knives. Okay, well, there's so many people getting killed with knives. Let's ban knives. Knives are not the problem. It is the hand behind the knife. Guns are not the problem. Guns do not kill people. They never have. It is the hand, the heart, the person behind the gun. Please understand that. And when we get mad at inanimate objects, we miss the real culprit. Keep reading. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. What does it say next? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Who is God talking about there? Muslims, right? No. Every human being that has ever walked planet Earth and has not had their heart regenerated by the Spirit of God. Every human being has a heart that is quick to shed blood. That is the problem. That is the problem. I forgot to put this on the sheet, but turn to Isaiah chapter 2. I want to show you something, because I think we as Christians can get the wrong attitude sometimes as it relates to these type of things. But I want you to show, I'm going to show you in Isaiah 2, a passage of scripture you may have forgotten. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. I forgot to put this on the sheet. But the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Speaking of here of the reign of Christ, the millennium, speaking of the coming kingdom of God when Jesus Christ reigns. And many people will go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Speaking of when Jesus Christ changes men's hearts, when people are born again, their lives are changed. And he speaks of the transformation that comes through the kingdom of God. And he will judge among the nations, and he will rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I put that in modern terminology. There's going to come a time when Jesus Christ rules, and we will take all of our guns and we will melt them down because they will no longer be needed. Okay, I like guns. I own lots of guns. But I look forward to that day. Why? Because loving guns or owning guns does not mean you hate people. It does not mean that. Christians long for the day when there will be a world with no knives, no swords, no guns. Why? Because Jesus Christ rules over every heart. Now, that being said, Jesus has instructed, I forgot to put read one of the verses. Jesus has instructed his soldiers, blah, 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 blah. Jesus has instructed his disciples to have swords. He said for his followers to be armed. Go back and read Matthew 26. We skipped this one. Kind of got me out of order, so I'm kind of confused here. Matthew 26, verse 51. This is Peter. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus to him, put again your sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. The kingdom of God is not advanced through violence. It is not advanced through swords. What brings about Isaiah 2? When we invade and destroy all the Muslims, right? No. It's when Jesus Christ reigns in every heart. Though the Bible is very clear that we are not supposed to ban inanimate objects, okay, and that there's nothing wrong with being armed. In fact, Jesus encourages his followers to be armed. We should never be so naive as to think the kingdom of God will be advanced because we're armed to the teeth. And we should never be so naive as to think there will be no violence in our country if everyone carries around a machine gun. That is naive. That is misguided. Would that reduce gun violence? Yes, possibly. But would it solve it? No. The issue is the human heart. And even if everyone carried a gun around, there would still be violence. Would it be less? You could argue back and forth, probably. But would it solve the problem? No. The solution to a depraved heart is not a bullet to the head. That doesn't change the heart. And we've got to be very careful because sometimes we can become more in love with guns than with people. And more in love with the idea, well, if that took place in my house, that would never happen because I got guns. No, the issue is still the human heart. The issue is the human heart. And the kingdom of God is not advanced through violence. It's not advanced through guns. It's not advanced through the sword. Should Christians be able and willing to defend themselves? Yes. I'll tell you a very good documentary. And you can see some of it on YouTube. It's a book that was written. It's called Shooting Back by Charles Van Wyck. Okay, I'll tell you the whole story real quick. One of the deadliest terrorist attacks, it was not perpetrated by Muslims, was in South Africa. It was in a church where terrorists came in. This is during the racial tension between the whites and the blacks in South Africa. And the terrorists came into church with hand grenades and real assault rifles, not what the media calls assault rifles, but fully automatic AK-47s. They opened the back doors of the church, pulled the pins, and chunked grenades into a full congregation, and started shooting people. One guy had a 5-shot .38 special revolver, and he had 5 bullets. And he started shooting back. The terrorists got scared, because they weren't expecting resistance, and left. He saved many Christian people's lives. I think he only hit one of them. I think the rest of it was just shooting bullets. But what he did is he went and found the terrorists when they were caught and went to prison where they were and shared the gospel with them and led them to the Lord. Please understand, shooting back at terrorists may reduce violence, but it will not save their souls. When we talk here about why would Jesus tell his followers to be armed? For protection, not for assault. Okay, they don't go and advance the kingdom of God by charging and killing Pilate. They don't. Okay? The idea here is that guns can be used to protect people. Guns can be used to kill people. The difference is not the religion of the person holding the gun. The difference is the heart of the person. Okay? I encourage you to look that up and look at this, what's called the St. James Massacre. Why don't you look at this quote on the bottom there of the page? The depravity of man is at once the most empirically verifiable reality but at the same time, the most intellectually resisted fact. Should read that again. The depravity of man is at once the most empirically verifiable reality. What does that mean? This is the most easy, obvious thing on planet Earth, and that is that human beings are depraved, hateful, murderous, and evil. However, people resist this against all the facts. That's what he's saying there. And this is true. Because when we look at everyone discussing all, how are we going to reduce gun violence? How are we going to reduce that? No one says the problem is the human heart. They say the problem is gun-free zones. The problem is assault rifles. The problem is Muslim, is Islamic terrorism. The problem is this, the problem is that. Again, we are not given a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. I want you to think with me. Before I'm going to start talking a little bit about the idea of banning Muslims. Who was it that crucified Jesus? Muslims? Jews and Romans. Who was it that burnt Rome to the ground and blamed the Christians and slaughtered them? It's the Muslims, right? No, it was the Romans. That was Nero. Okay. Who, after the Protestant Reformation, slaughtered Christians by the thousands? The Catholic Church. Okay. What religion killed more people in the 20th century than almost anything else known to man? Atheist, socialist governments. Mao Zedong was not a Muslim. Stalin was not a Muslim. Hitler was not a Muslim. Please hear me all the way out. Did Muhammad lead the slaughtering of Jews and Christians? Yes. Something I read very interesting this past week, and I didn't even know about. It was never really covered in the news media. But about a decade ago, there was a huge killing in India where they slaughtered about 250 Muslims. And I cannot even tell you how atrocious it was. I wouldn't even tell my wife. But I'll tell you this, it is worse than what ISIS ever did. What the Hindus did to the Muslims in India is far worse than what ISIS is doing right now. Far worse. Why are we not calling for a ban on Hindus, Catholics, Jews, atheists, communists? Listen, I will agree with you that Islam is a murderous religion, just like Hinduism, Buddhism, atheism, and every religion known to man. Because until the human heart is regenerated, your feet are swift to shed blood. Please understand that. Are most of the terrorist acts committed by Muslims? Yeah, besides for the shooting in Charleston, the shooting in Colorado, the shooting at Sandy Hook. Those were not Muslim men. The human heart is depraved. Is Islam a religion that teaches jihad? Yes. Am I okay if our government says we don't want people to come from Syria? That's fine. I mean, personally, I would think it'd be great if they closed the borders and fixed all the messes here. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. But I do not want our government ever messing with the freedom of religion. Because if a government can stop a Muslim from doing something, that government can stop a Christian from doing something. Please understand that. When you give the government the power to deny a Muslim his rights, they have the power to deny a Christian his rights. This is the danger that people have of turning to the government. Government officials are just as depraved as everyone else. If you looked at the gun bans, we want to keep everyone who's not in the military or law enforcement from having assault rifles. Oh, that's right, because there's never been a mass shooting on a military base by a military member. All right, that was Fort Hood, wasn't it? Yeah. I guess military members aren't super holy when they join the Army. Why? Because the heart doesn't change. And I guess there never was a mass shooting in California by a police officer with his state-issued assault rifle. Oh, that's right, there was. Not too long ago. Why? Because just because you're a police officer does not do away with human depravity. Please understand that. Being a member of the government, a member of the military, being a police officer does not change the human heart. Being an atheist does not change the human heart. Being a Jew does not change the human heart. Being a Catholic does not change the human heart. Being a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian does not change the human heart. Being a Muslim does not change the human heart. The human heart is swift to shed blood, period. Every religion, every people group, every nationality, every skin color, every language. You will find murder and violence everywhere. Is most of the terrorism in our country and our world Islamic? Yes. It's also one of the largest religions in the world. Just the truth. I mean, you call a spade a spade. But Muslims is not the issue. Guns is not the issue. By the way, did you know the same day of Sandy Hook, which is a horrible atrocity where they killed a whole bunch of children, one man in China killed more men with a knife by himself than were killed in Sandy Hook. Didn't get very much news coverage because there's no guns in China. He killed more people with a knife. Listen, the human heart is depraved and desperately wicked. And it does not matter what religion that human being adheres to. And let us be honest, there are many people who even claim to be Protestant Christians who are just as hateful and murderous because they've never been born again. So does Jesus address the issue of gun violence? Absolutely. Does he address the issue of terrorism? Absolutely. Does Jesus address all of these? Absolutely. Look in 1 John chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He gives a distinction here between those who have been born again and those who haven't. And what is the distinction? The people who have been born again have love in their hearts. The people who have not been born again have murderous hatred in their hearts. Very clear. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard it has been said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans, or the heathen, or the pagans, the same thing? If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. What has God commanded his followers to do? To have love in their hearts, even towards their enemies. This is one of the things that I guess has really bothered me about this issue. As I've heard even pastors calling for the torture and the killing of the families of terrorists. That is not Christian. Should there be justice done? Absolutely. And God says very clearly in his word that the child shall not die for the sins of the father. That is not just. Okay. Should people who commit acts of terrorism be brought to justice? Yes. Absolutely. Is the Bible very clear that that life for life? Yes. But when we become people who only like people like us and hate everyone else, we have ceased to be followers of Jesus Christ. The mark of a believer in Jesus Christ is their heart is filled with love, not hatred. And when we become hateful towards people that have a differing view of gun control than us, differing view of religion than us, people who are even Muslims, when we have hearts filled with hatred towards them, we have ceased to be like Jesus Christ, who on the cross said, Father, forgive them. The only hope to reduce violence is a change within the human heart. Notice this in Matthew 15, because this is exactly what Jesus teaches. Then answered Peter and said to him, declare unto this parable. Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not you yet understand that whatever enters in at the mouth goes in the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. There's an argument going on here. How can you eat without going through the ceremonial washings of pots and pans and hands? And Jesus says it is not the physical external things that make someone not right with God. It is the heart. Listen, being in the same room as a machine gun does not make you a murderer. Okay? Having a so-called assault rifle in your gun safe does not make you a murderer. Having a handgun does not make you a hateful person that wants to kill everyone. It is the heart that produces murder. And that may be by strangling someone, poisoning someone, stabbing someone, running them over with a car. It may be shooting them. It may be blowing them up. It may be a whole different thing. But you know what the issue is? The human heart. You can take all the guns out of their hands, but you cannot take the hatred out of their heart. So when we begin to talk about, we as Christians are pro-life. We don't want senseless acts of violence. We look at Chicago, we look at Detroit, we look at St. Louis, we look at Washington, D.C., we look at New York, we look at Sandy Hook, we look at the Colorado shooting, we look at Orlando, and we say we as Christians want the senseless loss of life to end. You can't take away all the guns, even if you wanted to. Even if you wanted to. It's still against the law to kill people, by the way. Making it against the law to own a gun, it is against the law to own a handgun in Chicago. And they still kill people with handguns. There is no law that can change the human heart. That is why, what does Jesus say in Matthew 28, verse 18? Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What is the power to reduce violence? It's the gospel. Jesus did not come and say, ban all swords because we love human life. No. Jesus didn't say, let's get rid of all the alcohol to stop drunkenness. No. He didn't say, let's get all the marijuana plants and let's destroy this and make this plant go to extinction so people won't get high. He didn't say that. Jesus said, the only hope is a changed heart. Jesus didn't go to the Roman government and say, you know what? We got to get rid of the Jews because the Jews are going to try to crucify me. He didn't go and say, you know what? We need to ban these people and ban those people. No, he didn't do any of that. Because it is the human heart that must be changed. And the human heart cannot be changed by getting rid of gun-free zones or creating gun-free zones. The human heart will not be changed by keeping people out of our country or welcoming them into our country. No matter what, we just got to get rid of hate speech. No. Whether you have hate speech or no hate speech, hatred is still within the human heart. It is not words that creates the hatred. The hatred is there because a person is disconnected from the life of God. So when Jesus looks at our world, does Jesus grieve the senseless violence? Yes. Does Jesus want there to be an end to murder and terrorism? Yes, yes, yes. What is the solution Jesus offered? To preach the gospel. Why? Because you can go to a Muslim country and you can dig them a well and you can feed them and you can feed their wife and kids. You can take every gun they have. You can take everything from them and they will still have the hatred within their heart. You can go to a Muslim country or to a Buddhist country, to a Hindu country, to an atheist country. You can sit down with anyone from any background in life and you can try every way, shape, or form to take away the alcohol, take away the drugs, take away everything, but that will not change their nature. The only thing that changes the human nature is the gospel. Now, is it okay if our government decides to close the borders? That's fine. That is fine. And if we want to support that, that's fine. But we do not want our government having the authority to judge based upon a religion. Because if they can judge based upon a religion, they can judge based upon a religion. Say, well, we got to keep, you know, people on this government list from buying guns. You know, I don't agree with that. You know why? Because that is taking away someone's rights without a trial. Who is it that decides who gets put on that list? What if suddenly a Muslim's there and decides that Christians should be on that list? We don't want that. Hey, this is a reason why we live in a country with the First Amendment. Freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. That's why we live in a country with the Second Amendment. Okay? Fourth Amendment. All those amendments. And we as Christians, as much as our country is messed up and our government's messed up and we may delight in a different form of government, we need to say this. Guns is not the problem. Muslims aren't the problem. The human heart is the problem. And the solution is not banning guns. It is not banning hate speech. It is not getting rid of gun-free zones. All of those things may help, but they won't solve the problem. Banning Muslims, that may help, but it wouldn't have stopped Sandy Hook. It wouldn't have stopped Colorado. It wouldn't have stopped Chicago. It wouldn't have stopped Detroit. The answer is the gospel. Because that is the only thing that has the power to change the human heart. If you want to do something to reduce violence in this country, then share the love of Jesus Christ with your neighbor. You want to stop Muslims from committing terrorist acts? Go share the gospel with them. Go share the gospel with them. You can shoot them all you want to. It will not get rid of the hatred. It won't. The only thing that changes the human heart is Jesus Christ. That's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.